Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSanto, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, how sweet it is.
It is.
I'm John DeSanto.
And I'm Wayne Miller.
And this is Double Take.
It is.
As I was reviewing for our show today in doing Undertone, which is a horror film of a different kind.
Oh, very much so.
I noted that the title is actually a small U.
Yes. I noticed that, too, when I Googled it.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool, because we've seen titles like that before, slightly manipulated.
You can change it for a sentence, for the purposes of a sentence. When we go to the theater for our usually private screenings, there's no undertone there.
No.
We are all overtone.
And it's usually hardly anybody there. But the first time we went to see it, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden the lights go off right after the previews and before the movie starts, and lost power. So we had to go back a second time to actually see it.
Why is it a different kind of horror film? We have our resident expert, Beth.
Yes.
And we weren't able to get her help on this one.
Yeah.
So ordinarily we do have help. Why do we both consider it unusual?
It's basically a one-person, outside of voices of other people, a one-person story outside of the comatose mama laying up in bed. But it's basically through the eyes of Evie, Evangeline, her full name, a rather charming podcast host. And since, John, you've got two podcasts going, and you always have a guest there.
Yep.
But back to your original question, very claustrophobic, and also, it took me a while, and afterwards I was scratching my head like, how am I going to review this? And after thinking about it, and this is a movie that really is thought-provoking afterward, and it's a little bit kind of like those unusual found footage horror movies like Paranormal Activity and the Blair Witch Project. I found it, though, a little bit more like a movie from the mid-40s called The Uninvited, as well as The Turn of the Screw, which there's been a film adaptation, but another one in the 60s called The Innocents.
Yeah. Setup is that she's podcasting every Friday or recording with her buddy in London. She's got mom upstairs, Nina Keery.
Yes. I'd like to see her again. I liked her.
Yeah.
But yeah, mama's up dying. Evie's waiting for her mom's death rattle.
Which a lot of
adds to best thing, the first person point of view orally, especially when she puts on her little podcast headphones and drowns out all the ambient noise.
Yeah.
And a setup of the movie is that her partner on the podcast, who lives in London,
Justin,
and he gets sent, emailed, I believe, 10 audio recordings.
Audio files. We all know, sitting in the audience, they should not go to the 10th. Except curiosity kills the cat.
Basically, that's one of those emails he should have deleted without opening any links. You talk about the ultimate malware that he got by opening those links.
And the distracting thing about this is, any more than she or Justin can figure out what's going on in this undertone, we can't either. I mean, we get some news as to what's going on, but it's a long slog to hear this.
It is. You know, and it's basically audio files from this young couple, Mike and Jessa, and they're expecting a baby. But he begins tape recording. She doesn't believe it. So to prove it to
Jessa,
her, adds that whole Paranormal Activity undertone as the recordings get more and more sinister. And I really like this woman, Jessa, in her sleep, singing nursery rhymes, which we hear a little bit about it as Evie sings like
Baba Black Sheep
and the same, but also London Bridge, the Jessa.
Yeah, and she informs us that the baby in London Bridge dies. There's a strong death motif related really to kids and parents, and then throw in a whole bunch of religious iconic stuff.
Very religious iconic, and that's the one thing that went totally over my head, because in any good ghost story or possessions, demon possession story like this, we find out there's a particular demon that is like in The Exorcist.
Sure.
Haunting a house or possessing somebody's body based on a character, Abizu, or from the Testament of Solomon.
She kills babies, right?
Yes, because she's jealous, because she's infertile and she's jealous. She either wants to kill the babies herself, or particularly the mothers kill the baby.
And Evie is on guard here because she's pregnant.
Yes, she is, and she finds out during this whole thing and is debating whether, and this is where her Catholic guilt kicks in,
really?
Because she's trying to debate whether to terminate the pregnancy. Of course, she can't talk with her mom, but if we see Screwy, mom maybe is getting up and walking around, or mom is maybe not as immobile as you think, and comatose laying in her deathbed.
Tucson, who is the director,
yes,
must intersperse every few minutes either a shot of Christ, the bearded Christ,
yes,
or the Hitchcockian stairway with a cross at the end of it.
Yeah. Or the Virgin Mary.
Yes,
the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one. That's the ultimate mama figure, Mary.
So Evie tries to get rid of this, tries to put it away, but the thing keeps showing up.
Yeah, keeps showing up, which iconic moments in some good horror films or ghost stories like The Sixth Sense. How'd this get here? How'd this get turned around?
I think most frustrating is that this is not your usual visual horror film. It's audio.
Not in the sense that we think about with jump scares like The Scream and Halloween. The cinematography was great, and they compare it a little bit to what Hitchcock would do in some movies by having empty space.
Yeah.
And you're on edge wondering how this empty space is going to fit in. You talk about a dark and dreary home.
Yeah. Or the cinematography will angle the shot.
Yes, so he's got some what they call Chinese angles. I remember teaching the film class that's just set you off. And of course, Hitchcock did that in a number of movies, just to set you visually on edge, but we're also getting oral experience of this, audio experience of this, because there were times I'm thinking, is somebody knocking on the walls of the theater? I said, boom, boom. And then a baby crying. Fortunately, the theater we were in, and this wasn't Dolby sound or whatever, it was basically a very good use for a low-budget movie of a stereophonic sound.
And with my limited understanding of it all, I usually call it German expressionism.
Yeah. That's a good phrase. You're absolutely right.
And sometimes this camera that some of our people will be watching our video. That isn't purposeful on my part.
I know. Like, you don't purposely cut the head off one of your guests like you did recently.
All right, Wade Miller.
Okay.
We have more to go.
Yep.
But right now, I think Undertone. Tell us, what do you recommend for Undertone?
At first, I was going emailed my niece Beth or texted her and said that, I said, it's a good thing maybe you aren't reviewing it. I don't know if I could even really recommend this. Then I got thinking more about it. And the little bit more that I read about it that filled in gaps of my knowledge. Anybody who likes some of those, particularly found footage movies or very eerie, creepy possession or ghost movies, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
But boy, some of your normal viewers, though.
No, will probably, they'll walk out on you.
Oh, yeah. They'll
you'll lose those friends.
Which reminds me, the first time I saw Blair Witch Project at the end of it, this father and his son got up and said, we wasted our money on this.
You and I both caught the religious iconography. And once you get that, you're on your way.
And taking somebody who's a lapsed Catholic and that is really playing with her because she has all this guilt.
Well, as we look at Undertone, and this is not going to be one of the favorite movies of the year at all. It is way too challenging. Yeah. And we've seen tons of movies, and we were still challenged by it, largely because so much is dependent upon what you hear.
Yeah.
And what our podcasters are hearing in the film is jumbled until they play the sound wave backwards.
Yeah, that is something like one of the things played backwards is Mike killed them all.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That from Jessa. You know,
yes,
and that she even refers to Evie like saving her from whatever fate that seems like Jessa, who's pregnant, is going to save.
And I think dispatching that baby and not seeing it at all, but merely inferring it from there is a good touch.
A very good touch.
It means that you can take somebody, if, as long as you warn them, it doesn't reveal itself easily.
And in the movie theater, I swear to God, I thought that there was a baby a couple rows behind me. They did. I've mentioned it before, the stereo sound use of the sound effects is very good. But the movie isn't for everybody.
Right. Well, tell me, one that's much more accessible, but in a similar theme, A Quiet Place.
Yeah, because of...
you're right to challenge that. You can't say anything there.
Right, yeah. Right, okay.
But it still plays upon an abnormal motif in a film, which would be what's not said.
I had already mentioned that it reminded me of a 40s movie with Ray Milland, The Uninvited, The Innocents, Turn of the Screw. This is possibly for those people. It doesn't have the jump scares, but the movie The Grudge, where the little girl comes out of the TV set or whatever, attacks people, is original Japanese movie. Then they made another one, a remake of it.
Well, no, I'm thinking, and I know that you will identify with this with me, because it's important to us, and particularly to me as a Catholic boy. Almost the opposite of this is The Exorcist.
Yeah, because that really went into not only jump scares, but really gross out horror stuff.
You know? And lots of noise.
You know? Oh, my God, yes.
And overt religious business.
Extremely overt, right? Yes.
Even when I took my dates down those steps at Georgetown, I didn't realize how iconic this was, the steps down to M Street.
When I took a date to see it first time, like, my God, we're talking over 50 years ago, that we went to a restaurant later, and I purposely ordered the split pea soup. That was our first and only last date.
As we look at, and I always love to do this as we get toward the end of our show, I always like to use a litmus test, the ones that have tried and true that are really the best.
Okay.
And I'm not sure this one is going to last that, because I think it's so inscrutable in some cases.
Inscrutable is going to work for it, yeah.
But you always like The Conjuring. You know?
Very good, because I thought that somewhat similar to that.
Yeah.
But in The Conjuring, you really had to dig deep and read about this movie to find out, basically, if there is a demonic possession.
Well, you always like these perverse young dolls or whatever. You always get a kick out of them.
I have my little action figure.
Right.
Now stop to think about it. No, it was Annabelle. Annabelle was the name of the doll in The Conjuring. There is something that Evangeline is named from some movie.
But I think one that you always loved, that you always bring up, is not anywhere near this, but it's got horror elements that are visual, is The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, yes.
Got a kick of the little mice crawling off.
I know the rats. Bring me a rat, which is interesting, because a movie I might recommend that I've seen, watched my DVD of, called Quarantine, that has elements of dread. You know something's going to happen.
Well, they're so different from Undertone. Again, what we're contrasting is something that's almost always visual.
Yes.
The horror motifs.
Yes.
And this one playing on that sound.
The sound, great motif.
Yeah.
That are throughout the whole movie, kind of like Red uses a motif in The Sixth Sense. If you pick up on that, you know something is not right.
And may I suggest that in our movie today, Undertone, there's an undertone of dread is the word that you use, and I think it's a good one, about life and about birth. Probably an iconic one on that would be Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, yes, definitely. With the whole mother thing.
Yeah.
And this baby, the Satanists want to keep it alive because it's the spawn of the devil.
Right. And one that doesn't have anything to do with these, but I want to remind you of, I think you saw it, and I think we both delighted at The Descent.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
Now, there's a horror film.
Now, that is, and you talk about something that plays on claustrophobia. Yeah, the blunking. Women that we would probably really like down there, and they're not getting knocked off.
We have all these kind of white demonic creatures underneath the earth who can't see.
Yes, yes. But, you know, I know you've got your list. At first, but then I kind of got off of comparing it. At first I was thinking, is it going to be like the movies that we both really liked, one called Searching and the other one Missing, that's all done through the computer.
Oh, gosh,
you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
And I, the whole thing that it was dealing with the media. The other thing that kind of reminds me of a little bit, in their podcast, you know, the partnership, Justin is more of a believer, whereas Evie is a skeptic. Scully and Mulder from the X-Files.
And Scully is the skeptic, right?
Yes.
And Mulder's the believer. Very good.
Yes, yes.
I forgot
that. And that's where it all of a sudden, oh, wow, it does sound like Scully and Mulder.
Well, I got one I pulled way out there. May have nothing to do with this, but one that I'll never forget because it plays on one of the motifs. Not sound, I think. Well, it may be. But I'm thinking of Audrey Hepburn in When She's Blind.
Oh, Wait Until Dark.
Wait Until Dark.
Alan Arkin plays the villain, and Richard Crenna, her husband, the hero, Audrey Hepburn, yes.
Now, doesn't that rely on her hearing?
Yes.
Because she can't see.
Yeah, she can't see. And a lot of the movie, especially the suspense bits, are at night.
Yes.
And you know, she's trying to make things dark. Let's go to another one that we really like. Kids break into the blind guy's house. And they did a sequel to it. I can't remember the name. Anybody likes movies like that would appreciate it. But so much of it is based on what he can hear of these kids who had broken into his house, knocking into stuff.
I'm barely remembering it now.
Yes. And then he uses his former special forces skills, you know, of dispatching them. And then that movie, what I liked about it, took such a totally unexpected twist near the end of it.
Well, Wayne Miller, do you have some more suggestions?
No, I don't. Was it Don't Look Now or Don't Breathe was the name of the movie with the blind.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And,
good one.
And what a good title for a movie like this.
Yes, very good.
The one thing we only mentioned a little bit, and if it's kind of closer in maybe style, is the found footage ones like Paranormal Activity, which all the sequels, diminishing returns as far as critically and commercially.
Yes, right.
But this first-time director of this movie, Undertone, has been tapped to revive
The paranormal.
I'm very curious to see what he would do with that, particularly with the use of sound effects on a darkened room.
We're about ready to close out, only because we'll start parsing this whole movie and giving away all of the good clues that I think our director and writer have put together.
Yes,
And we don't want to do that. But we do want to suggest that this is a really different kind of horror movie. I would have liked our resident evil expert, Beth, to have seen it to enlighten us from her extensive experience in the macabre.
Yeah, I'll have to tell her that. That you've nicknamed her resident evil.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Tell me, what do you recommend about Undertone? That's with a lowercase u.
Yes, I have a lowercase recommendation. It's a movie, if you go see it, you really better pay attention to it. You'll get a lot more out of it, a lot more than I possibly did in the first viewing.
Yeah, you're right. Viewing is really recommended.
There was, I think it was probably on, somebody said, more of an experience for her than a movie. And I think that was a good way of summing it up, because it really makes you start questioning your own belief system, that if you were put in a situation like that. Don't hit on a link from an email. You'll download more than malware and a virus. You'll unload the devil itself.
The movie is Undertone.
Yep.
It's something you won't get at all on our Overtone Cinema Classics.